Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hello and welcome. This is your host, Kendi Foster, and we have a brilliant show lined up for you today. One of the greatest challenges people seem to have is around finance, around money, and sometimes there are issues in the past that, for whatever reason, have left blueprints or imprints on your mind, and as a result of that, the money doesn't flow the way that you would like your money to flow, which is consistently, abundantly, on a level where you are not only in, you're out of this survival place, you're in thriving, you're constantly thriving with money. And how do we get there? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever looked at, you know, maybe you're a person that has generated a lot of money, actually, a lot of money, and then all of a sudden you go, when is enough enough? I have clients that do that, okay? And then we talk about that. I also have clients in the past that had a lack, a limitation around money, right? And so there's some blueprints that we need to overcome with that, right? And you know what? It's not that hard, but you got to do the work, because if you don't do the work, a lot of this is generational. Passed down from generation to generation to generation. Well, speaking of generations, my guest today is going to be talking not only about how to find true wealth, and we're going to talk about money and how to heal your money issues, if you have any. We're going to be talking about story, because story is really important when we start to understand the wisdom behind the stories. You know, in this day and age, most people don't live with their grandmothers or grandfathers, which were the wisdom keepers of the family in the past. Today, we get our information from, you know, just Google it, right? You just have all the information there. But I say we don't need more information. What we need is wisdom, courage, love, compassion, and a true understanding of what wealth is and where that wealth comes from. I have a very special guest on my show. He's an international speaker, author, and a man that walks his talk. He's an integrous gentleman who's going to help you today. Take your thinking and up-level it. Up-level it to a new place. So stay tuned. I'll have him right on as soon as I take a break, and then we'll get Ken Honda on our show. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. As I mentioned, I have my guest today, Ken Honda. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hello, so great to see you, and thank you so much for inviting me back.
Well, you know, I've had you on my Voices of Courage show a few times, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of people watching my Heal It show, and I want them to know about you and how to, you know, understand how the issues around the money, and as I mentioned, we're going to talk about story today and some of the stories we're telling ourselves, and, you know, be able to, you know, transform that so people can really heal their money issues.
Yes.
Before I do that, Ken, let me just introduce you formally to my audience here. Honda is the author of the international best-selling book, Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. He's got a new novel out, which I can hardly wait to read, by the way. It's called True Wealth, 9 Lessons from a Grandfather on Happiness and Abundance. This came out through Hay House. And I know Ken is on a world tour right now, one of 3 that he's going to be on this year, to let everybody know about not only his new book, but also about how we can heal these issues around money and connect story with that.
Yes.
Yeah. So Ken, why True Wealth? Why True Wealth?
That's a very good and simple and very deep question, Ken, always. You know, True Wealth is something that will just give you inspiration. What we need is not only money, but also there's something called invisible assets that we tend to overlook. For example, it's your bonding with your friends, and also with a deep connection with your partner, kids, parents, and also if you are doing business well, you must have a very good relationship. You must have very good relationships with customers and clients, so you are actually surrounded by so much beautiful energy, and I think. Somebody can be called who has true wealth, not only just money, but also he or she, they have all the wealth, abundance. And I think it's probably energetically, you know, whatever they do, they truly enjoy. And also things that they don't have, they're okay. So they're not craving for more. If we get stuck with wanting more, we need a bigger house, more cars, and then there's no end to it. So people who have true wealth know how to satisfy with what they have.
Well, that brings up a thought for me. When I was young, I really had some self-esteem issues, and I figured that a lot of people could help me figure out how to have money. So I became a stockbroker in the United States, a security principal, an arbitrator for the National Association of Security Dealers here in the U.S., which are big titles and very hard to get those licenses. And I studied all about money, everything outside of me, all about money, how it works, how it doesn't work, how to invest in stocks and bonds and real estate and all that stuff. And at the result of that, after about 12 years of doing that, I had less money than I ever had. It was not outside of me. I had to go within and do the work. And I believe that that's why a lot of people connect with you. They love your books. They love you because it's not about chasing more money. It's about something else. What is that something else, Ken?
I think it's probably a deep satisfaction and peace of mind. You know, people that I have met over the years, it doesn't really matter if they have money or not. The truly happy people are those who are enjoying everyday life. Little thing, you know, that just you notice, you know, beautiful sunset, nature, and the people smiling at each other. But we keep missing those once we are stuck in this busyness and also chasing after more and more. But people who have peace of mind also know when is enough, how much is enough. Yeah. So they are easily satisfied. And also, they find joy in every little thing. And I'm not minimalist, you know, so I'm not saying that you don't need money. Yeah. I think if you're living in a big city, you need some money to pay for the rent or the mortgage. And also the food and all the necessities are getting more expensive. So I think you should have some money, but it shouldn't be your main focus.
Yeah, there was a minister years ago. His name was in the United States. His name was Reverend Ike. And Reverend Ike would tell people, he'd say, I love money and money loves me. And he'd be a priest, he's a preacher, right? So he's up on stage. He says, I want you to, you're passing out the offering, right? I want you to dig deep in your pocket. Don't bring out those $1 bills. Bring out the $100 bills. You know, he had a mindset of abundance, not lack. Or, you know, it's great if you want to be a minimalist. That's fine. I think more than being a minimalist is being able to live within your own budget. I think that's a big piece for a lot of people. And they're not satisfied, like you said. They're always looking for something more. And we got a country that, you know, I don't know how many people are in credit card debt, but a lot. And, you know, because they're financing for the immediate pleasure, but not thinking about it in the long term. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So for those of you who what I call a spender type, I have a great affirmation for you. So when you want to buy something for the next time, you know, after just a tough day, you want to reward yourself. So I want you to ask yourself, if I don't buy this today, am I going to die tomorrow? So oftentimes not. So if it's not the super necessity for you, you should postpone the buying and then until you have some money in the bank account. So the money problem, there are only two. You're making too little or spending too much. So you have to make more and then spend less. So by doing that, every month you have a little money left over. So, you know, it's like a math for grade school, but you have to start. Some people have to start from there. And then if you just have more money left every month, and then you can invest the difference. But to have a control over finance is a first step. To do that, you have to spend less and make more money. So it's as simple as that.
You make it really simple, and I think there's, and I'll just plus what you said. I think there's, piece where we have to simplify our thinking around it, right? And like you said, ask that question. I love your question. If you don't buy this today, am I going to die? I ask my clients, I say, do you need it or do you want it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you want it or need it? If you don't need it, are you going to die tomorrow? I think we'll plus that. Are you going to die tomorrow if you don't get it today? Yeah. You know, that there's a lot of dissatisfaction out there. And I want to talk about your book, because I know it comes from Wisdom, The True Wealth Again. What is the book about? Let's go there first.
Yeah, so I have the only copy, Sampo, I have. This is a little cute book. It's called True Wealth. And it's about a grandfather who donates all the money before he passes. So one day, this 20-year-old boy, Kay, receives a package from his grandfather's lawyer. And in the letter, in the package, the grandfather writes, sorry, grandson, you know, I'm not here anymore. The bad news is you're not going to get a penny from me because I donated all the money to charity. The good news is that I left you 9 letters. When you think the right time comes, open it. And then just follow your intuitions. And then each letter has a title. The first one, synchronicity, decision, action, work, and money. So he opens one by one, something happens, and he gets guided by synchronicities, and he goes on and follows his heart and synchronicities. So he will discover the true meaning of life, you know, through grandfather's letters. So I put all the knowledge from my mentors, my father, my grandfather. And these days, we don't get to spend elderly people, especially in North America. You know, you don't live with elderly people. You know, you just you live far away from grandparents. So you never had an opportunity to listen to the elderly, which we really appreciate in the Japanese culture. I know, but still in Japan too, more and more young families are moving away from their grandparents, you know. So I just wanted to put all the wisdom that I learned over the years into the format of 9 letters.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you say following intuition can lead to true wealth?
Definitely, because I think somewhere in our heart or in our mind, there's a place that that knows everything about us. So we know when something is right, we feel, you know, this is good. So when we want to do something, is your heart opening up or your heart closing? So if your heart is opening up, that means, yes, you should do it. And if your heart is getting closed, that means you should not do it. It's not for you. So it's as simple as that. So our body knows if we stay in a place where we should not, then we get sick. We feel bad. We cannot get up in the morning. We get depressed. But when we are following our heart, when we do what we love, you know, the whole mechanism, our body and our energy goes up. So we know by our experiences that whatever works for us, we feel good. Whatever doesn't work, we feel terrible.
Well, I love that formula, and I've used that formula to create wealth in my life. And it's a formula that is simple to use, but hard, or simple to understand, but difficult to embrace sometimes. So I just ask, is it coming from love or is it coming from fear? Am I investing? Let's say, am I investing in this stock because I really love the company? I think they're doing great things. I love the values of the company. I've watched the stock charts. It looks like this is going to have a great opportunity. Or I'm doing it out of fear. I'm worried that if I don't invest now, then the company might make more money and I won't be caught in that. Or am I afraid that am I afraid that I might lose my money now? It's that mindset that gets everybody messed up. Yeah.
So, you know, we are so stuck in this greed and also needing more and wanting more. So we have to really figure out how to have peace with money. That's why I'm just going over the world to help people transform their relationship with money So like being on this show is such a great pleasure because getting questions like how much is enough, it will just give you a good start of thinking what's good for you. What's the number for you?
Yeah, I think it was Nikola Tesla that said, if you want to understand the universe, understand, I'm going to paraphrase him, understand frequency, energy, and vibration. Now, he used some other words, but I'm going to modernize those. Frequency, energy, vibration. And what's Ken's talking about? I mean, is there a there is a frequency to these soft pieces, to love, to compassion, to joy, to happiness. There's an energy around that. Is that how you perceive it, Ken? Or what? How do you, you know, when you're out of sync, right? And you know, oh, I should have made decisions mm-hmm. today. What's there? What's there for you?
So I always say, is this helping somebody? And if I'm what I'm doing is helping somebody, I'll say yes. So when you come home from work, are you bringing in happy energy or frustrated energy? It's like, say, are you coming back from work? Or like if you work from home, after finishing your work, do you feel so happy? So are you surrounded by happy energy or are you surrounded by, frustrated energy? Your family can feel it. Your kids can feel it. And your clients and customers can feel it. So just surround yourself with beautiful energy because whatever you do can be helpful for others. And I think your job is to make somebody smile, you know, every day. And if you just keep doing that, you don't have to worry about finances for the rest of your life because they'll support you.
I love that. Listen, I got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this positive action energy and negative action energy, the difference in how people can understand how this really works. So we'll be right back.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and well-being? UK Health Radio is your ultimate digital destination for cutting-edge health information and inspiration. At UK Health Radio, we know that good health is not merely the absence of disease, but a state of complete physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Tune in to our wide range of expert-led shows where renowned health professionals share about the latest research, practical tips, and inspiring stories that will motivate you to live your healthiest life. Don't settle for anything less than vibrant health. Tune in to UKHealthRadio.com, the world's number one talk health radio and podcast platform.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'll be right back with Ken Honda in just a second. I want to let you all know that if you would like to pass this show on to somebody that you love, you care about, that would really benefit from it, you win, they win. Of course, the show wins. We all win. So I'm hoping that you'll think about doing that. You can become a subscriber to this show on our YouTube channel. So just, I think it's Heal It. Just Google Heal It by Ken D. Foster. You'll find it. And also, if you want to find all the replays to the show, you can go voicesofcourage.us. Hope you'll check us out. All right. My guest, Ken Honda, is back. Ken is the best-selling international author of Happy Money, and he's got a new book out called True Wealth. Actually, Ken, he's got a lot of books out, but True Wealth is his latest one. And all right, negative energy, positive energy, action. What are we talking about here?
So whatever you do, you always have a choice of happy choice and unhappy choice. So you can ask yourself, is this going to help me become more happy, or is it going to help me with more money, for example? And then a lot of us are driven to go for the option two. Okay, as long as I have more money, and then I'll think of happiness. But only more money, sometimes with happiness. But if we are going for only more money, more something, and then we get stuck. So you have to always ask yourself, what do you want for this one? So As Ken said, you know, is this out of fear, out of love? I think it's a great way of just figuring out. I just simply find out how I feel in my body. If this feels like good, it brings me a smile, then I'm going to go for it. And if not, I'll stay away from it.
Yeah. You know, in the book, Key's grandfather talks about that money should not be your number one priority. If it's not number one priority, what is?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think every one of us should come up with the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You know, also in the book, on his journey, a friend of grandfather warns Kia, when a person has more money than the inner money container can hold, more money than the inner container can hold. Can the inner container hold any more money than... let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Because we have beliefs that say, well, I only get so much money. I only deserve this. Or, yeah, how do we overcome those things, Ken?
No, I think we are all born with a certain money container size. Some yeah. small, like this, yeah. and then some a little bigger. And then we are all different.
Yeah.
So if we try to be like Bill Gates and Elon Musk, you know, we'll definitely end up losing everything on the way. So we have to know how much is a money container. And then we have to figure out ways to satisfy with what we got. So in life, we have to go after what we want. And at the same time, we have to enjoy and appreciate what we receive. So figuring out exactly how much or how big your money container size, and then 100% satisfied with it. And the only way to grow the money container size is to help people. If you increase the number of people you help, then your money container size will grow. Like for example, take a writer as an occupation. If you just help 10,000 people, you get, say, $10,000. If you help a million people, you get $1 million as a book royalty. So the number of people that you help increases, and also the how much you're going to receive will also increase. So help more people and your money container will grow.
Yeah. And now this is principle is not just out of the air. This is based in your wisdom, because I know in your first book, Happy Money, you gave away a whole bunch of books to help people. And as a result of that, that book became an international bestseller.
Yeah, and I have been always doing it. Before I became an author, I gave away my booklet to 100,000 people, 100,000 people for free. So I'm known for a generous giver in Japan, and then that really gave me a great credential that people trusted me. So with that trust, I could write the second book and the third book and the fourth book, which all of them became a national bestseller. And so that's why I could sell millions of copies. I think my book sales is now reaching 9 million copies worldwide. So it's because I have been sharing all the information very freely. Sometimes I get paid, sometimes I don't, but it's okay. As long as I keep sharing, something good will come up. That's my philosophy.
It's my philosophy too, Ken, and it seems like it's working really well for you, and I know for me. Failure. A lot of people are worried about failing. In fact, sometimes they worry to the point where they don't even get started. how important is failure to success? And I know in the book, Key's grandfather tells a little bit about failure as a requirement for success. But what's your take on that?
So the reason why I put failures in one of the nine letters is that you have to be very good at failing. You know, some people say like, what? You know, but say if you become if you get to success after nine tries or nine failures, so that means that you have to really enjoy the nine, you know, failures before you get one success. So that means you have to be gracious. We have to embrace failures so beautifully. So one of the great things that I think of myself is like, I don't care about failures, or I love just failing things, because it's almost like testing something. And then after 9 failures, 1 success is guaranteed. So you should fail 9 times as fast as you can, and then you get one success. So just enjoy 9 failures. So good reward is waiting for you.
And I love that. And you know, one of the things I teach my clients is at the end of each day, ask what worked for you today, what did not work for you today, and what you can do tomorrow to improve. But now I like under that not work, you're counting your failures. This didn't work. This didn't work. This didn't work. Because you're getting closer to that 9, which means that you will succeed. I got to take a quick break, Ken. When we come back, I'd really like to take a little deeper dive into how true money, true wealth can really impact our lives when we really embrace the concept. And what are the steps to embrace it? So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I'll get to that question about truly embracing the principles in the book in just a second, but I wanted to back up a second and ask you a little bit about your own personal failures right now. Do you know you've got a lot of success. Does failure still happen at the rate that it did early on, or is it level out after a while?
That's a very good question. By the way, you know, Candy Foster is a master of questions. That's why I love about this person, you know. So I think the ratio is, of course, you know, going down, the ratio of failing. But I fail in my head first, and then I try out the best scenario, and then still fails. So I try to fail more in my head, so it doesn't cost me, and also I can save some time. But I try to simulate in my head, so I'm failing anyways. So, but the difference between regular people and me is just I don't mind failing at all. So I can okay. Let's try this one. Didn't work. This one didn't work. This one didn't work. So by the time they're wondering, should I do this? Do you think I can make it? Do you think this works? I already failed 9 times while people are talking or thinking about it.
Right.
So I think you should fail more. Don't worry about the ratio or the failure rate, you know, success rate. Yeah. The more tries you have, the faster you go.
Yeah, I can relate that too. I do a lot of voiceovers, and I say every time I do a voiceover for a commercial, I fail at least 7, 8, 9 times, and then it finally gets to where it's perfect. And those failures, we learn each time, each way. We learn those failures. You know, a lot of people want to be happy in the world. They're really chasing happiness. They're chasing pleasure. They're chasing things that, you know, just they want to feel good. And yet we look at the world and we see that, you know, we've got environmental issues. We have wars going on. We have, you know, politics split here and there in all the countries. We have, you know, people prejudice against this person and that. We've got a lot of stuff going on. But through that, through finding true wealth, does that balance out inside of us at some point? Do we see something? Do we see life differently through the true wealth formula?
I think by understanding true wealth, you can be emotionally free. Mm. Because you understand that money is just a neutral energy. You know, my father used to say money has two sides, like a coin. One side is angel, one side is devil. So it's the same thing, you know, about life. I think it's 50-50, which side you want to focus on. In the world, there's so much sadness, so much despair, frustration. And at the same time, there's so much love, generosity, and care. It happens at the same time. And also, we are so fortunate that we can choose which side we choose to look at. That means that ignore the negative and just focus on the positive. I'm just saying that you just realize that there is a positive side, a negative side, and then which side do you want to focus more? So by just focusing on your positive side and just share with what you got, and then the more you share with your heart, people respond. And if you're just surrounded by happy people, you'll be genuinely happier. So just that you have to use your intuition to find your tribe and surround yourself with fun people who are sort of like you.
You know, some people think that the negativity in the world, the energy of negativity is growing faster than the energy of positivity. What I'm hearing you say is there's a flip side. There's negative and positive that come with just about anything, probably everything. And so not one is growing more than the other. We're just, like you said, focusing on one or the other, which seems to expand what we see. Is that a good description of that?
Yes. So you can see the whole thing. That's what it's all about. So you cannot just stay on just one side.
So what is the myth of scarcity? Let's talk about that, because I know that's in the book, the myth of scarcity.
Yeah, the scarcity is that we think that there's not enough. And for me, since English is not my first language, it sounds like scare city. That means like a scary city, you know, where everybody's scared with one another. That is the sound of it. So when you believe in scarcity, which we are forced to believe since we are small, we think if we got this, somebody in the sacrifice of somebody's loss. But think about the economics. You know, instead of just circulating $10 in, $10 out, we can create an economy $100 in and $100 out. So which is more abundant. So the more people receive money, more people share money. That's a more abundant society than the money just circulating less. So actually, by your receiving, you can give more. By giving more, you will receive more. So countries with a higher economy, they usually receive more money and also spend more money. So it's almost like in the same country, like say United States of America, there are like 20 different economies. You know, so which area do you want to live in? If you live in New York, it'd be probably very different from other like countryside cities. So it's up to you. Where do you want to live in a hyper, you know, very, very busy, busy city? Or do you want to live in a very relaxed place where there are more cows than people? You know, that's your choice.
But, you know, we live in this thing called duality. We live in light and dark, up and down, give, receive, give, take, goodness, evil. You know, there's all these different polarizations, right? And one of the things that I've learned over the years, for instance, is you got to kind of, if you want to make the change, you got to kind of feel the pain, is what I call it, pain, struggle, what have you. And it's interesting with duality, Ken, because it's like when I go out bike cycling and I'm pushing and I'm building muscle, it's, you know, it's painful, right? But then on the other side of that is this great pleasures. So if we can discipline ourselves, like with money, to spend less, which might be painful for some people, you save more and then you have more joy in your life. So I think there's a piece there. How do you see that, this duality we live in?
I think it's the same thing with food. When we eat, it's good right now, but you get sick or you'll be fat later on. So, like, do you want to enjoy now or, you know, later? So there is this very well-known tagline, you know, in front of registry. I just brought me a smile. You know, in a discount store, it's a, you know, supermarket. Yeah. It said, buy now, regret later. Ah. You know, I thought it's pretty funny. So if you just spend money, that you may be spending the money you need in the future, yeah. You know. So you have to really figure out if you buy something now, which it's not really that, you may not even use it, you are just losing your financial independence every day. So just think about if you just be more careful now, you enjoy financial independence later. So a lot of people don't realize the cost of spending, wasting your money at the cost of your financial independence in 10 years. Yeah. So if you can see the whole picture, bigger picture, then you think, okay, you know, I don't need this because I'm not going to die tomorrow. But just not spending money today will give me financial strength later on. Okay, which choice do I take? Do I make? And then, okay, today I'm not spending this money and I save it for future. So that kind of mentality will just make you stronger financially. So that's why I'm just telling that learning about emotional intelligence is very important around money.
Well, you know, I like that piece that you talked about, the emotions. And what's happening is that with this show, we have a lot of medical doctors that come on and they talk about stress, and they talk about the emotion of stress and how that's causing a lot of health issues. In fact, some of the doctors say that 80% of the people that come that are really stressed out, that's where the disease comes from. So money can cause stress in people, right? It can cause stresses. So how do we have this happy, loving relationship with money without the stressors?
So you really have to understand what is a money-related stress. Because once you know that a certain thing, it could be stressing you out, and then you understand that, okay, this is a stress that I'm receiving. So just figure out what you feel around money emotionally. We'll just give you the, you know, better understanding of money, and then you understand the tendency. Okay, when I just overspend, I feel bad, or when I don't spend money, you feel like frustrated. So whatever that is, just understand your emotions around money. That will be a great start.
That's good. And, you know, in the book, you talk about how we relate to money is a lot like how we relate to our life.
Yes.
I think that's a very deep, deep question. Mm-hmm. How is that? How do you see that?
So a lot of people stay indifferent to money, like as if, well, I don't know, you know, I don't care about money. But if you don't care about money, it's almost like you're not taking your life seriously. So it's almost like you're ignoring the important element of life. So once you just forget to focus on the importance of money, and then you may have a harder time because we have less freedom, less choices. So if you just learn about these things, you can have a wider choices, and also you can have peace of mind every night. But if you don't take control over money, money takes control over you. So learning about money, learning about emotional state around money is very important for your happiness. And in the future, you can focus on what you feel around money, and then let go of money-related stress, because you don't need it. It's something you learned over the years, especially from your parents and circumstances. You can have a financially stress-free life too, which I think is one of the great things. And then you don't have to be a millionaire, billionaire in order to do that. You can just check out all the negative emotions you feel around money every day, and then try to release them every day. So my question to you is, what kind of money stress do you feel? And if you want to let go, when do you want to let go? If we want to let go of them now, do it today.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I got to get this last question in. And it's not really a question. It's more of a way that you've crafted so people can really understand how money impacts everything. So I believe everything counts. And what one of the things you said in the book is about creating a persona around money, right? If you create a persona, I'll let you talk about that, whether they're happy or the sad or they're angry, you know, persona around money. Can you explain that real quick in about a minute?
Yeah. So there are many money personality types. You know, there can be a money waster, spender, warrior, gambler, money maker. So just figure out your types. You know, you can come to my website, kenhonda.com, and then there's a mini test that you figure out. And by understanding who you are, you know how to deal with money.
That's really good. Okay, kenhonda.com, kenhonda.com. It's on the screen right now, but my listening audience, I wanted to put that up for you. And also, I want to just, Ken kind of flashed his book up there just a second for us, but I wanted to put it up on stage here for you. There it is, True Wealth, True Wealth. Okay, Ken Honda, it's going to be out. It's there for you. Yeah, that's right. That's right. True Wealth. True Wealth. True Wealth.
Yes.
Yeah. All righty, Ken. Well, Ken, thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure to have you on these shows. And every time you've got this wisdom that comes forth, and audiences are blessed by it. So thank you again for being here. And I know it's early in the morning for you. So thank you for being here. All righty.
Thank you, everyone. I just send you all my happy energy, happy money energy for you. May your life will be filled with happy money and beautiful memories.
Wow. Well, I know one thing. If I'm an audience guest out there, I'm going, I receive that. I receive that. I feel it.
Please.
Thank you, Kat.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you all of you for joining us today on the Heal It Show. We hope that you will come back time and time again and heal everything, every area of your life, whether it be mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, on money levels, on career levels, on relationship levels, on areas where, you know, you're struggling. Why struggle? Come and listen. I'm bringing the top guests in the world, the experts of the experts, that help you to really understand and get to the core of these issues so that they can heal and you can change and you can become the person that you really want to be. Okay. So hope you'll check us out. All right. Well, until next time, continue to look for and heal whatever you need to heal, because life is short and you're worth it.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.